Thank you for downloading this podcast from policyreview.tv.
Good morning to you all. As I was introduced, I'm a health visiting colleague from Denmark. I've been a health visitor for more than 20 years. And this is really what I am. At the moment, I'm doing research. I'm doing my PhD. But when people ask me what I am, I'm a health visitor. First, I want to congratulate my English health visiting colleagues on the 150 years anniversary and thank you for the invitation today as a keynote speaker. During the past five to six years, the bonds between our countries have grown closer and we have had Obi over as a guest to our conferences and Cheryl Adams. And we've had the pleasure of having speakers coming to our conferences as well from the UK. All this to learn and experience best practice from our respective health visiting countries. My topic today is what can we learn from our neighbours, and in this case, Denmark. As we heard in an introduction, several times at this conference I've been asked, oh, do you have health visitors in Denmark? Oh, yeah, it's up. And yes, we do. And we have actually had health visitors for 75 years, and we've just celebrated our 75th anniversary this year. We do also have health visiting services in Norway, Sweden, Faroe Islands, Iceland, and Greenland, and of course New Zealand. I think that's the countries we can sort of compare ourselves to. Very short about the health visiting in Denmark. It started in 1929, when the Board of Health suggested that we had women coming out to the families because we had quite a high death rate amongst children under 1 year. And in 1937, the health visiting service was officially approved. And in 1973, we have the health visiting service as we are seeing it today. There are many similarities in our health visiting services, and I will in the following address a few of the things we do in our service. And as I've been listening into the speeches yesterday, there are a lot of similarities, a lot of the concerns we have about safeguarding the children and the families are the same, and I think we can compare a lot of what we do. I'm just going to introduce a little bit about Denmark, how we are organized, how we educate our health visitors, and what we do, children and families with special needs, about our screening programs and our challenges, and a little bit about the perspectives. First, in Denmark, a health visitor is not allowed to work as a health visitor unless she's got a diploma. And I'll actually talk a little bit about this later. Yes. But a little bit about Denmark. We only got 5.5 million people, which is not a very small country comparing to you, and we've got around 60,000 newborn children every year, and we've got 1.2 million children between 0 and 17 years. 98% of all the families in Denmark accept a visit from the health visitor. If they won't accept our visit, we have to report into the social services, and they are being monitored if they don't accept our visit. And all our school children are seen at least twice from grade 0 to 9. We are associated under the Danish Council of Nurses, which means that you cannot really be a health visitor unless you are also a nurse. We got around 2,000 health visitors in Denmark, and we educate around 100 new health visitors every year. Unfortunately, we've got 200 unemployed health visitors at the moment, and I know that England have tried to get health visitors over here, but I'm not quite sure how we are getting on. First, in Denmark, as I said, you cannot be a health visitor unless you are a nurse, and you cannot be a school nurse unless you are a health visitor. We don't use the midwife in health visiting because the midwives in Denmark are not qualified nurses. And so it's really quite a very narrow area. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about the education. First, you have to have a bachelor degree in nursing to get into health visiting. Prior to the training, you have to have 2 years relevant practice. and then 18 months of training at university level. It's just last year gone up to 18 months. And that means you have 1 year of theory and then 6 months of practice. And in all, that gives you these 90 ECTS points. You're being closely supervised during training, and finally you get this special diploma in health visiting. We have put the training up to 1.5 years because we really hoped that we would get a master degree, but in the last minute they decided to let it stay as a diploma, which we're very unhappy about. Yes. Then a little bit about the guidelines we're working under in Denmark. We're working under really the governmental act of provincial health systems for children and young people. And under that, we are working under the guidelines for the Danish Board of Health. And then after that again, the guidelines are being sort of dealt with within the individual municipalities in Denmark. And that means that we might have guidelines from the government and from the Board of Health, but the municipalities really are looking after how many hours, and they have cut down a lot of the health visiting services, even though that the governmental guidelines say that we have to, for example, give 5 to 7 visits within the first year. Some of the municipalities has cut that down to 2 and 3. So what do we do? We do home visits, as you do. We come out to all the families with newborn children, and we come out to all the families with children up to 3 years old. We don't have nursery nurses as you have here, so the health visitor, if she can and if she's allowed from the municipality, she will go out and do a visit when the child is 1.5 and 2.5 years old. Then we got the school nursing. Last year we changed the school nursing system, and we don't have any school doctors anymore, so all the health visitors in Denmark are trained as to take the entry examination at 5 years and at 16 years old. School children, they were the ones where the school doctors, they were conducting these services before. So last year, all the health visitors, they went for a week education to do this. And then we do health consultations, which means that we talk to school teachers and we go into kindergartens and nurseries. I'll have a little bit more about this. We also do pregnancy home visits, and we try to visit the family in the second trimester of pregnancy where they're open for changes. As I said earlier, we are consultants in nurseries and kindergarten. The kindergarten staff and the nursery staff in Denmark, they are trained, they've got a bachelor degree, which means that they really like us to come in and do supervision, either about the individual child or as other concerns like hygienic problems, or it could be educational problems. And we go and speak to the parents at parents' evenings in the kindergartens and nurseries as well. Then we are working, as you are, health promotion and prevention, which means that once you're a health visitor, that's sort of embedded in the work you do. And then we are by law also looking after the demographic differences, which means that if you come out to areas where you know that there are lots of second-generation inhabitants from other countries, you have to be aware that there could be other problems there. Then we also have to describe and solve. And in our system, we have all the health visitors in Denmark, they have to report in writing what they're doing so the parents can follow it later. The parents can actually go in and see what health visitors have been writing online. And so she brings out a computer and a printer, and she actually writes the report with the family and prints it out for them. And after this, they can actually go in and see what she's written. And everybody's got access to this. So there's no hidden agendas about what's going on with the health visitor and the family. And then we're into collaboration across sectors. We're working with the maternity wards, with the pediatric ward, and with the social workers and psychologists and psychiatrists, and I'm sure that's very similar to what you do here. We also do have a lot of children and families with special needs, and we, as all health visitors, we have a lot of high ethics about safeguarding the children and the families. And for these families with special needs, and this can be mothers with depression after birth, it can be a family with chronic or ill children, or it can be divorces, or it can be all sorts of things that sort of collides with the family's normal life, we actually are allowed, and this is where the municipality, we are very restricted from what the municipality allows us to do, but we can do extra visits from 5 to 10 to 15, and we use different techniques like Martameo, which is a technique where you film the family and then you afterwards discuss with the family what you're seeing on the film. We use mind mapping. We use that a lot with obese children and with school children. We use mentalization. We use motivational interviewing, and we use coaching. A lot of these health visitors actually get this training by you doing project. We get some money for doing projects, and then you for example train all the health visitors in the municipality in Martameo, and then you do a project. The problem afterwards is that often the project fall apart when the project period's over. Yes. We also do screening programs, ANSEL and postnatal depression. It's a big issue in Denmark these days. We do motor skills screening at 8 months, where we also try to find out where is the child, how much is it behaving the way it should, is the hearing okay? And we do obesity screenings in school, and we do other general screenings at school as well, where we are obliged to do the entrance screening and the screening when they leave school. Yes. But what are the challenges in health visiting in our country? Well, our challenges is that the mothers now return to home after birth very early, and by law we should be out on the third day to visit them, but we can't. We don't have resources, so we only come out after 7 days, so we have a lot of breastfeeding that actually fails, and we had a lot of readmittance to hospital because the families can't cope getting home so early without having help. The midwives are standing in the back wanting to take our visits, but this far we have actually kept them at bay. But the problem is, if they get out now, we won't get that visit back. We have less resources to visit the newborn and their families, and that's what I said, within a week. We have less time for individual visits, and we have less time for school children. Some of the new areas that's actually coming up now is the use of mobile technology applications. And we're actually at the moment developing apps for breastfeeding. I could see out here that that's what you do as well. And we're actually using telecommunication. And the maternity wards, they are setting up telecommunication with these families now who are not seeing a health visitor before this fifth or sixth or seventh day. So that's very interesting where that leads us. I will say that a lot of health visitors are actually employed in the hospital system, in the maternity ward, so we're not that worried about that. So what are the perspectives? We want to have more focus on pregnancy. We're very concerned about the obesity. 34% of all newly pregnant first-time mothers are obese. So we want to have more focus on pregnancy. And also, as I've heard a lot on this conference, the bonding between the mother and the child, we see a tendency that the mothers don't bond so closely with their children anymore. And we need to sort of pick that up in pregnancy. We have to have more focus on home visits. And one of the things we really wish for that is that we can get all these like Marta Mayo and mind mapping, and we get time to do this in the family because we know it works, and we have done evaluation, and we are very happy about the results if we have the time. We also want more focus in school children. The school children are also getting very obese in the Danish schools, and we want to have more time to spend with these children and to actually get access to the families and do home visits with the school children. And then we want to focus on continuous training and education of the health visitors. Yes. One of the things I've been thinking about doing this speech is how do we move on? How do we exchange the best practice and experience? And I think this is to do actually that we have to be much more aware what health visiting is. And we have to also go and see and get ideas from countries with similar structures. And I've got a lot of ideas coming back when I go back. We also look to further education and research. And we actually, I think one of the ways forward is also to have more conferences and workshops where we actually share knowledge about across the countries and within the countries. Yes. Okay, that was about what I had to say. I will just say that if you want to go in and look at our website, we've got a website you can go and look at now, and we are also having a magazine which is published 6 times a year about health visiting. And then I'm quite happy to answer questions afterwards. Okay, thank you.
Thank you for listening to this podcast from policyreview.tv. For more details, go to www.policyreview.tv. Please note that this audio is subject to copyright and cannot be used by other broadcasters or for commercial gain.